Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
You know, we're in the middle of a series, and we started this Easter series, this Jesus series. Can everyone say Jesus? How many of you know it's all about Jesus? Can I get an amen? Come on. It's all about Jesus. Last week we started this Jesus series all about the Passover lamb. And the Passover lamb, his timing is always perfect. Jesus is never late. He's never early. He's always right on time. And I want to tell you, in your prayers, he's going to be right on time. And then the Passover lamb, he is our substitute, meaning Jesus gave his life for us, and the blood is on the doorway to our heart so that judgment passes over us. We have eternal life through the Passover lamb. But today, we're looking at another area of Jesus' life and this part two of this message series, and we're seeing what Jesus was like in the final days before his death and resurrection and who Jesus is still in our life. I just want you to think about your best friend that you just love so much, that friend that just gives you just warm, fuzzy feelings. You just love hanging out with them. I'll tell you this, that Jesus, he's a better friend than even that. Jesus is the best friend that you will ever have. And the title of my message today is this: Jesus, a friend to the end. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll stick by you, and he's a friend to the very end. Come on, let's bow our heads and let's pray. God, we love you. We praise your name. Bless us today. Help us to have a wonderful time in your presence. Thank you for being our friend. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Jesus is a friend to the end. Turn with me to John 15 and 12. That's our text today. John 15 and 12. You know, everything that Jesus said from the moment he began his public ministry, it was the living word of God. Can I get an amen? Amen? It was important. It was vital. It was life-giving. It was transformative. But as Jesus approached the end, it was as if he began to laser in on certain principles with his disciples that he knew were going to be very hard and very great on their belief system. This is monumental because he speaks this in his final 24 hours of his earthly life. Every word has got to count. And as he looks at his disciples, he begins to pour his heart out about how he feels about them. And in all the special moments that they shared together, he has never been so tender. He's never been so vulnerable with them. And he's faithfully walking with them to Gethsemane. This is monumental. And they were his last words on this side of the cross. And they were more important than any words that had ever been spoken since time began. This excerpt from this last day on earth especially intrigues me this morning. So this is our text. These words are unbelievable. John 15 and 12. This is what Jesus said. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Everyone say friends. Friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus calls them his friends in these last words on his day here on earth. You know, there's books that have been written on the final days and last words of famous people. You know, some are moving, some thought-provoking, some blasphemous, some are prayers, and some are kind of funny. Here's a couple of them. Harriet Tubman, the amazing woman who freed a multitude of slaves through her Underground Railroad, she died in 1913. She gathered her family around, and they sang songs, and these were her last words. She said, "Give my love to the churches. Tell the women to stand firm. I go to prepare a place for you." Wow. Leonardo da Vinci, perhaps history's most brilliant artist, his last words were this: "I have offended God and mankind because my work did not reach the quality it should have. Come on, Leonardo. Being a little hard on yourself. Is the Mona Lisa not enough? Come on, Leonardo. I'm bored with it all was Winston Churchill's last statement. All my possessions for a moment of time. Queen Elizabeth I's last words. And then Frank Sinatra died after saying, I'm losing. The legendary hard-nosed NFL football coach Vince Lombardi, he died of cancer in 1970. And as he died, Lombardi turned to his wife and he said this. He said, happy anniversary. I love you. You know, what you'll notice, with exception of just a few of these, most people's last words are about themselves. I should have done more. I wish I could have. It's about themselves. But Jesus, he was different. In his final 24 hours before the cross, knowing that the cruelty of death was before him, his conversations, they were primarily about his followers. And he wanted those men to know that they were his friends. You know, I saw a meme recently, and it said, Jesus' real miracle is that he had 12 close friends in his mid-30s. I'm just saying. John 15, he introduces three powerful statements about friendship to those who walked with him in Gethsemane. This is the text today, and it's so good. I want this to wash over you. He said, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So you got to remember, in this day and time when Jesus spoke these words, there was a monumental, you know, caste system, which meant there was no equality, especially between master and servant. So for an almighty God that's walking with his disciples, Jesus, to call them friends, this was monumental. And this was going to carry them through the coming days that were so tough on them. Because here's the thing. Every one of them were going to desert Jesus and fail Jesus. And they would feel unworthy of his love and his trust. They were just like us after they betrayed and abandoned him. Just like we do sometimes. We don't feel like Jesus is a friend to the end. We feel like he's a friend until we have sinned. And yet these declarations of friendship in this chapter, that must have been what really gave them the strength to get through these trying times. In fact, even at the moment that Judas betrayed Jesus, and he's coming to betray Jesus with a kiss, Matthew 26 and 50, Jesus just stamps the fact that I am a friend to the end. This is what he said to Judas. He said, do what you came here for, friend. Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. Jesus, in the midst of being betrayed, he calls him friend. Jesus, the one that had betrayed him and sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, he looked in his eyes and said, I am your friend to the very end. Don't ever forget that Jesus is our friend. Today I have 2 points for us. And here's the first one if you're taking notes. He is a friend when you've come to the end of your own strength. Peter is an incredible character throughout the Bible. And Jesus obviously saw raw leadership qualities in this young fisherman. He was bold, he was brash, kind of obnoxious. And whenever Jesus said this, I would rather you be hot or cold, he was probably talking about Simon Peter, because he was not lukewarm. He had monumental victories, and then he had colossal failures. I mean, he was like high and low. One of the best examples is Matthew 16, 13. And it's the story of when Jesus was in Caesarea Philippi. He asked the disciples a question. And he said, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Who do people say that I am? And in this moment, Peter was all about the spotlight, right? He just wanted to step up and give a great answer. He lived for this. And he said, Jesus, I know. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he hit a home run. I mean, just crushed it. And Jesus said, great job. He said, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but this was revealed to you by the Father in heaven. And then Jesus gives him an incredible word spoken over his life. Jesus said this. He said, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Peter, you're the rock that the church is going to be built on. Okay, you have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And Peter is just like, "Oh, that's right. That's who I am." And then the same conversation, Jesus goes on and says, "These are the people that will persecute me. I will be killed, and this is how I will be resurrected." But Peter, he can't handle it. He's ready for the spotlight again. He thinks it's time for him to speak up, and he says, "Not on my watch, Jesus." He says, "Far be it from you, Lord." And he said, "This will never happen." Same conversation. Jesus looks at him and says, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. For you do not have in mind the things of God, but rather the things of men." Peter is shocked. He's like, "What? I thought, what happened to the rock thing and like the keys deal? Don't I have the kingdom? Like, I'm Satan? What?" You know, it reminds me of the song Frank Sinatra, and it's "That's Life." And he says, I'm riding high, flying high in April, and I'm shot down in May. Peter just got shot down, right? Yeah. But Jesus was breaking him, not breaking him into pieces. He was breaking him like a wild stallion. When Jesus fully wanted to use him and channel this life into what he saw for him, he had to mold Peter's natural aggression into spiritual courage. He had to reverse this, you know, act now and then listen later mentality to listen to the voice of God first and then act according to his will. He was being broken down. He was being molded by Jesus. You know, he found himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they came to arrest Jesus, and it was just too much for Simon Peter. Pulled his sword out and chopped a dude's ear off, and Jesus publicly rebukes him in front of everybody. And then we see him and the disciples, they flee, and we don't see him resurface until later on that night, and he's there, he just wants to get a glimpse of Jesus. "My Savior, where is he at?" And some girl, see, "Hey, that's a disciple. Here he is. He was with Jesus." And he's like, "Shut up. No, I was not. I'm not. I swear I've never seen Jesus in my life." Three times he denies Jesus. Then the rooster crows, fulfilling the prophecy, and he is at an all-time low. Can you imagine how he felt? He was at the end of his strength. He thought it was all over for him, but he was in the exact place that Jesus wanted him to be. It was not over, but he was this wild stallion now being broken. And he was at the end of himself, but he had a friend to the end that had a plan for his future. Look and listen to me today. You might feel like you're at the end of yourself. You may have broken your vows to God. You may have failed in every attempt to change your life. Your life may be a roller coaster of broken dreams and promises, unfulfilled expectations. But I've come here today to give you hope. I'm here to give you a message that it's not over. Say that with me. It's not over. In fact, you're finally at the end. You're exactly where Jesus wants you to be, so he can be the friend to the end to give you a future, a hope, and the life abundantly that he's called you to. You know, Peter, he had a major case of foot and mouth disease. Peter was formerly the definition of a loose cannon. Peter's whose name would always be synonymous with chopping some dude's ear off and that stinking crowing chicken, right? Peter was the one that Jesus chose to be the keynote speaker to introduce the church to the entire world. All because he came to the end and he had a friend to the end. This past Friday, we had an Eagle Creek Recovery Center program last Friday night. Can we put our hands together for Quentin Light, who's the head of Eagle Creek? For those of you that don't know what Eagle Creek is, it's an addiction recovery center that's Christ-based where thousands of men have come through over the past few decades and had their lives transformed by Jesus. Well, on Friday night, Conway Boone, he spoke, and he was the keynote speaker, and this good-looking guy gets up, and he has the Holy Spirit all over him, and he just starts giving his testimony. And this was his testimony. He got addicted to drugs and alcohol at a very young age, and then he started selling drugs. As he started selling drugs, he just fell into addiction and this dark lifestyle until finally one day he got arrested. And when he got arrested, it was a little bit of a relief, but someone came in and got him out of the situation, and he was thrown right back into this dark lifestyle. And he said it was just terrible. Well, time went on until he was arrested once again. But this time there was no getting out of it. Whenever they arrested him, he sat in the back of the police car. He knew, no getting out of this. I'm about to go to prison for a very long time. But this is the interesting part of the story. He sat in that police car, and he said there was an incredible peace that just came over him. And he was just so calm because he knew he had come to the end of that lifestyle. He knew he had come to the end of that road, and now something new was about to begin. Well, he went to prison. And while he was in prison, he got saved. Started reading his Bible. Started telling other people about Jesus. And people started getting saved in prison. I don't know if you can have a good time in prison, but this guy was having a good time in prison. And he started writing letters to Eagle Creek Recovery Center because he wanted to go to a faith-based rehab. So he wrote them. And after a week of writing, well, someone said, Conway, you have a visitor here. And he went in to see his visitor, and it was Pastor Bruce Ewing, who is with Eagle Creek Recovery Center. And Pastor Bruce began to disciple him. Every week, he showed up there for Conway until he got out of prison. And when he got out of prison, Quentin said, we've never had a guy so excited to go to rehab ever at Eagle Creek. So he gets into Eagle Creek and he's just pumped, and he finishes his time in Eagle Creek. I want to tell you today, Conway is a very successful businessman. He has a beautiful family, and he lives his life to tell his story that he came to the very end. And when he came to the end, Jesus Christ, the friend to the end, picked him up, and he's had the greatest life that you can imagine. Put your hands together for Conway right now. And I'll tell you this, Conway's not the exception. And the Apostle Peter, he's not the exception. They're the rule. All throughout the Bible, you see men and women that before they do great things for God, they have to come to the end of their own strength before God steps in and does something great. Jeremiah was used to prophesy God's very words to the world only because he knew he would fail if he tried to speak in his own strength. Isaiah's anointing and ministry began by crying out to God, I'm a man of unclean lips, and so is everybody I know. Yeah. How many of y'all love King David? He's like one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I love King David. God knew that he would be king, but before he could entrust him as king, he would allow him to be a fugitive, to live in caves, to come to the end of his own strength until David finally cried out. And this is what David said at the end of his own strength. Psalm 22:14. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is turned to wax. It is melted within me. Friends, we think God chooses us because our strength is so great, but the truth is straight from the Bible, and you know this. And I've discovered it, that when I am weak, come on somebody, I am strong. And that's what the friend to the end does. You might think that you messed it up. You might think you're at the end, but you're exactly where Christ wants you to be. He's going to pick you up, and he'll be the friend to the end. Here's my second and final point. Jesus is a friend to the end when it comes to the end of life. Isn't it amazing that the one thing we all have in common is normally the thing that we're least prepared for? We're all gonna die. I hate to say that. We're all going to die, right? Every single, it is. And we don't like to think about it. We don't like to talk about it. But it's the one thing we have in common. And Jesus is talking about it in this conversation in John 15. He says, I'm going to lay my life down for you, my friends. Of course, last Sunday we talked about Jesus, the Passover lamb dying for us, becoming our substitute so we could have everlasting life. And it was a resurrected Lord who said this, Matthew 28 and 20, and be sure of this, I am with you always to the end of the age. Everyone say, the end. There's an end to every one of our lives that's already determined. You know, it's an appointment on God's calendar. And it could be 10 years, 5 years, it could be a year, it could be a month, a week. But you will have awakened in your bed for the last time. You'll have eaten your last meal, had your last conversation, seen the light of day for the last time. The ending is coming for us all. That's just the bottom line. But listen to me, I want to put this even more in perspective, make it even more real for you. If you're 40 years old and you live till you're 90, oh, that's 60 years left, right? Well, that's actually 21,900 days that you have left. Could you live on that for a year if those were dollars? And what about if you're 60 years old, well, you live till 100, that's 40 more years. You have 14,600 days until the end. That's such an eye-opener. And statistics say this, that most of us will not live until we're 100. The truth is, there are millions upon millions of people on this planet, and we're expecting a great end to our lives. They think showing up with their idols, ideology, their goodness, their accomplishments, their disciplines, or even their casual belief in God is going to give them entrance into heaven. And I'm closing right now. The band, you can come up here. But listen to me today. If you show up without the Savior, without the one who said, I'll be with you till the end, then the truth is, the end of your story, it's going to be tragic. The end has two possibilities. We have two possibilities. The first is a heaven prepared for those who know and love their Savior, or an eternal hell prepared for the devil and his demons. It was not prepared for us, but it will be our tragic end if we don't know our Savior and know Jesus Christ. The Bible says this. It says, today is the day of your salvation. Today. Everyone say today. We cannot wait. Either whenever we leave this life, we're going to see an almighty judge and see the judgment, or we're going to meet the friend till the end. Which one is it going to be? I want you to stand with me right now. I just want to ask you a couple questions. Some of you, you might feel like Simon Peter, and you might be at the end of your own strength. You might feel like you just can't go on. You need the friend to the end to step in and to transform your life. You might feel like you've screwed everything up, like you've just done all the things to met. No, you're exactly where God wants you to be. It's in a posture of surrender. You're at the end of that life. Hey, if anything, you can say, thank God, I'm finished with it now. The friend of the end can pick me up. And some of you, if your life ended today, you don't know where you would go. If your life ended today, you're not sure how your life would end. And right now, I want to give you the opportunity to make sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you know where you're going. Bow your head with me right now. I just want to give you the opportunity to give your life to Jesus. This is monumental. It's the whole reason that we do this. And I want to ask you this question. Are you absolutely sure that your life is right with God? Today is the day of your salvation. You cannot wait. And if there's a question mark there, today is your day. Today is the day of salvation. You got to get right with God. And you got to make sure the one that's a friend to the end, you have that ending locked for the eternal destiny with Jesus. So bow your head, and I'm going to ask you this question. Are you absolutely sure your life is right with God? If you say, no, I'm not, I want to give my life to Jesus, raise your hand right now. If you say, I want to give my life to Jesus, and I want to secure my ending with him right now, raise your hand. If you want to give Jesus your life, thank you, Jesus. Raise your hand if you want to give Jesus your life. Come on, everyone in this room, pray this prayer with me. Jesus, come into my life. I believe you died on the cross, and you rose on the third day. Forgive me of my sins. I want you to be my friend to the very end. Every head bowed. Keep your eyes closed. And I have another question for you. How many of you feel like you're at the very end of your own strength? You say, I need the strength of Jesus to come through for me. I need the friend to the end. You say, maybe I'm not rock bottom, but there's some areas in my life where I'm at the end of my own strength. I don't know, and I need to surrender. So right now, if you feel like you're at the end of your own strength, I want you to raise your hand right now. If you're saying, I need the friend to the very end, raise your hand right now. I need the friend to the very end. Thank you, Jesus. God sees every single one of your hands. And Jesus is your friend, every hand, and every hand that's even not lifted. He is your friend to the very end. I want to give you the opportunity to respond, and we're going to open these altars. These altars are really sacred, and wonderful things happen at these altars. This is all I'm saying. If you raised your hand, I want to invite you to come down and just to lift your hands and to worship. And as we worship, we're going to say, God, you are my friend to the end. I'm at the end of my strength. I need your strength. So right now, if you raised your hand, if you're comfortable with it, come on down here right now. Come down to the front. And I want you to lift your hands, and we're going to worship Almighty God. And I want you to say it over and over again. God, I want you to be my friend to the end. I'm at the end of my strength. Give me your strength. Come on, everyone, if you're comfortable with it, raise your hands right now. And we're going to worship. As we worship, let's give God our best, and let's worship with everything within us. Come on, let's worship Jesus today.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.